Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Yud Aleph in the middle of the Omid. You will notice a new Mishnah. Before we learn the Mishnah, we glance in the Book of Illustrations, the Pirush Chai, the book that we have been using since the beginning of the Masechta. We're looking at diagram or illustration 169. What we see there, and we can read the caption, which is essentially the words of the Mishnah, Hidlo oleos agefen vesadlas, a plant that is growing, that's branchy. The gefen is a vine, and the delas and the kisum are also different types of growths, and he took the branches from this growth and spread it across a sukkah. So that's what we see in illustration 169. Now, with that in mind, we look at the Mishnah, Hidlo, Oleo, Esagefen, Vesadlas, Vesakisum, or Kisus. These are different types of growths. The Gefen, we know, is a vine. Delas and Kisus, other types of growths. Vesikech al Gabo, and use the branches of these growths as Schach, placing them over a sukkah. Psula. The sukkah is unfit because we have a rule that we do not cover the sukkah with something that is still attached to the ground. Vim hoya sikuch harbe mehen. If, however, in addition to these branches, he had kosher schach that was greater in quantity, so that would outnumber and neutralize the problem presented by this attached schach. Oishikotzitzon. Kshera, or if he detached the branches even after they were placed over the top of the sukkah is kosher, and Rashi points out, and we do not say that since at its initial making it was unfit, so it remains unfit. Not so, but rather true. When you covered the sukkah with the attached branches, at that point the sukkah was unfit. However, by cutting it, you repair the situation. Ze haklal. The following is the rule. Roman numeral number 1, we broke the Mishnah down into two parts, one positive and then number 2 negative. Kol davar shehu mekabel tuma v'eino v'ein gidulo min ha'aretz ein mesachachin bo. Now there are two separate points over here. Anything that is capable of absorbing tuma. You can have something, for example, a wooden vessel. Now, wood grows from the ground, but it's made into a vessel, and as such, it is makabel tuma. So, if you had a set of wooden bowls, you couldn't use the wooden bowls as schach because it's a dovar shemakabel tuma. Another point, the ein gidulo min haaretz, something that does not grow from the ground. Now, you can have something that, let us say, is metal. Metal does not grow from the ground. And yet, it itself is not fashioned into a vessel. It's just a hunk of metal. That hunk of metal cannot be used as schach, because it falls short in this requirement in so far that it's not gidulo min haaretz. So if the item in question is either one of these, it's mekabel tuma, or it is ein gidulo min haaretz, ein mesachachin bo. You cannot use it for schach. V'chol dovar. Now here we have, this is section 2, this is the positive. What is kosher for schach? But you have to note here, we have the two elements that were mentioned under Roman rule number 1. Here, you have to have their negation, but both have to be in place. The chol davar she'eino mekabel tuma v'gidulo min haaretz, something that is, first of all, it's not a vessel. So it's not mekabel tumah. Plus, it has to be made of a substance that grows from the ground, wood or plant related. It has to have both of these elements. So that we're trying to point out the difference in the Mishnah, whereas in Roman numeral number 1, the Aleph and Beis represented or this or that. Here in Roman numeral number 2, both Aleph and Beis have to be in place in order for it to be kosher as Schach. So the Mishnah has said that if it's Dover She'eno Mekabel Tumah and it's Vigidul HaMenorahs, Mesachach and Bo, then it can be used as Schach. Before we go into the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a topic heading, and we've noted the phrase Ta'aseh velo min ha'osui. Ta'aseh means something shall be made bekashrus. We have that in parentheses. Ta'aseh bekashrus, make it in a state of kashrus, that when you're making it, it has to be kosher, and not something that is a sui, that was made originally b'psul, it was made in a state of being unfit, and then expecting later on for it to become kosher. This, of course, is just a phrase. It's quite abstract at this point. We have to see how to apply that. Hagdoras asiyah. We're going to define what do we mean by asiyah, making something. At what point is something said to be made? Besukkah, betzitzis, belulav. In three different areas of halacha, making a sukkah, preparing tzitzis, and in the preparation of a lulav. Now, what do you mean in the preparation of a lulav? That's assuming that a lulav needs to be bound together. That the lulav with the other two varieties of plant that go along with the lulav is a, we'll call that a palm branch, and the hadassim, myrtle leaves, and the arava, willows, that are taken together, and there is a possibility that they need to be tied or bound together. The Gemara will also feature in the Gemara, you'll see some markings, and we under our Mivneh heading, under the structural note, you see a double underline. This features Deos Beshitas Rav. We're going to see different approaches to Rav regarding the possibility or the practice of Ktsitsasen. Cutting something is considered its making. So now we'll look into the Gemara. Yosef Rav Yosef Kamei Rav Huna V'Yosef Ekomar. We should note ahead of time that in the next several lines of Gemara, there will be pronouns. It's important to keep track of who the speaker is at each point. So here we have Rav Yosef sitting in the presence of Rav Huna, and Rav Yosef is saying, the Mishnah said, Oy shekotzitzon ksheira. That's a quote from the Mishnah. Namely, you had the vine branches placed while still attached over the sukkah. And the Mishnah said that if he cut the branches, then the sukkah is kosher. The Omar Rav Tzorich Linaronea. You've got to move them as well. In other words, cutting them is not enough. You've got to cut them and then shake the branches that originally were placed while still attached. You've got to shake them as well. The shaking of them is tantamount to undoing them and putting them back on. So Rav is according to this quote, granted you don't have to take everything off, but you do have to do this ni'anua. And the reason is because when they were placed on the sukkah in a state of chibur, mechubar, so they were placed in an unkosher state, and the cutting of them is not considered the making of it from the outset. It's not considered a new making. So when the branches were placed on, they were placed on, in, as we said in our introduction, ta'aseh velo min ha'osui, meaning they were placed in a state of unfitness. The Pasuk says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha. So in the Pasuk, there's reference made to Sukkos Ta'aseh. You have to make a sukkah. And when we say have to make it, you have to make it. And in the making of it, it has to be made kosher. And that is to the exclusion of preparing something that when you're making it, it's pasul, and then only afterwards you remove the problem of the psul. That's not enough. Therefore, according to this approach, the branches that were placed on in a state of psul while they were still attached, the cutting off is not, the severing of the branches from the original plant is not enough, but you've got to do an act that is, it's as if you're starting all over again, as if you took off the branches and then placed them back on in a kosher, detached state. And that's accomplished by this process called ni'anua, the shaking of them. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rav Huna. Rav Huna says to Rav Yosef, Ha Shmuel Amra, he says, this idea of shaking them is something that Shmuel says. Ahadrinu Rav Yosef Lape, the Omar le, Rav Yosef literally he's turned his face around, and it's an expression of displeasure, an expression of anger. He turned around and he said to Rav Huna, Otu miko amino loch delo Omro Shmuel, did I say that Shmuel did not say that? Omro Rav Yomro Shmuel. Rav said it like I said, and Shmuel also said it like you claim. Now, we have a point, long point, Omar le Rav Huna. Rav Huna says to Rav Yosef, you didn't get the point. When I said that Shmuel made the point of Tzorch L'Anea, I was saying something much more definitive. I was saying, Hochi Kuamin Oloch. Thusly, I was saying to you, the Shmuel Omra Valoi Rav. Only Shmuel would say such a thing of Tzorach L'Anea, that in addition to the cutting, you've got to do the shaking as well. Because the Rav, Rav himself, Achshurei Michshar, Rav would have declared kosher the sukkah covered with these branches by the mere cutting of the branches alone, without the additional shaking. Kiha de Rav Amram Chasida, like is illustrated in the following story. This following story involves Amram Chasida, and Rav will appear in the context of this story. Rav Amram Chasida had a wife, and he prepared tzitzis for his wife's clothing. Now, he was of the opinion that women are obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So we're working with that assumption. That itself is a major discussion, but we're working right now with Rav Amram Chasida's point of view, that a woman has to have tzitzis in her four-cornered garments. Now, let us take a look at illustration 173 in the Pirush Chai. What do we see there? We see a corner of a garment, so quite magnified, the corner of a garment with, I would like to say with strings put in, but if you look closely at the picture, it's simply one long string that's folded over and refolded till it looks like that. Now, technically speaking, if you want to know how you make tzitzis, you're expected to insert four separate strings into a hole, and then they double over, creating an image of eight strings, but it's really four strings that are doubled over. And that's the right way of making tzitzis. In the story involving Rav Amram Chasida, he put the tzitzis in like you see there in picture 173. So now, let's continue in the Gemara with one eye on the pictures as well. Ki ha de Rav Amram Chasida, we're reading in the Gemara, Roma Tchelta. Tchelta means tzitzis. He placed Tchelta, tzitzis, le parzuma, the inshi beise. Parzuma is a type, is a name of a garment. Inshi beise means his wife's garment, his wife's parzuma. Tol on, velo posak, roshe chutin, shelohem. He inserted the string that was doubled over, like you see in the picture. And he made all of the tzitzis knots that you can see in illustration 174. Notice if you look closely at the illustration, it's still essentially one long string. And by using the loose end, he was able to create the spiral and the knots, as you see. Also, lekame de Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Rav Amram came to Rav Chiya Omar Leil, and Rav Chiya told him, Hochi Omar Rav. Rav says, Mafsikon vehein ksherin. All you have to do, because we know that tzitzis have to be four strings, and what you have up till this point is basically only one string, so all you do is you cut the tips off, as you see illustrated, and by doing that, you're cutting off the one long string into several strings. It's in effect creating the four strings doubled over into eight. Cut them off, mafsikon, the Hank Sharon, and it's okay. Now, when the tzitzis were made, they were made in a state of not being kosher. But by cutting it, that is their making. So it's now kosher. Alma, we see from here, psikos and zuhi asiyosan, the cutting is their making. So that up till this point, I wasn't in violation of ta'aseh v'lo min asui. This is the ta'aseh. This is the making of the tzitzis by cutting off the tips. In other words, everything else you did up till now was preparatory. Now, by cutting off the tips, you are making the tzitzis. Hochanami, so too when it comes to the schach. Tzisosan, zui asiyosan. As far as Rav is concerned, by cutting the branch from the trunk, detaching it, that's its making, without the need for any further shaking, for any further mianua. At this point, we have a bracketed section. We have also a little star indicating on the side is a note, but sograyim within the brackets, biur shitas shuvel. The Gemara will focus on Shmuel's opinion. Achar kach, haGemara chozeres lodun b'shitas Rav. When you turn to Amud Beis, or you scroll ahead to Amud Beis, you notice at the top line a triangled expression, Meisvei, and the triangles will introduce questions on Rav. There's one over here, and there's another triangle a bit later, where the Gemara will be turning to Shitas Rav. The Gemara is, the structure without markings is not the easiest Gemara in the world to follow, because what happens structurally here is the Gemara will be asking on Rav, and then Rav will answer. The Gemara then will interrupt again with a point concerning Shmuel, and then following the next brackets, again you see a triangle, which again is a kasha on Rav. That'll be a long question, two-part question on Rav. So, with that having been said, let us skip to the first triangle on the top of Amud Beis, Meisve. Tolon velo posak roshe chutin shalahem. He inserted strings into a garment's corner, and he made the knots, without cutting the tips. So it says psulim, the tzitzis are unfit. My lab psulim li oilo mutiyuf to the Rav. They're unfit, permanently unfit, and that would be a problem for him, because Rav said in a case like this, you can cut the tips and it's kosher. Here it says psulim, permanently unfit. Amar loch Rav, Rav answers, my psulim, the word psulim in this source means psulim ad shivsiku, it's possible until you cut off the tips. But once you cut off the tips, your tzitzits are kosher, because that is considered their making. Once again, you see a bracketed section, and just to get a flavor of the Gemara, we'll skip the brackets to the next triangle. Mesve. Now, the number one indicates that, of course, a two will follow. There are two questions posed. Number one, Tolon v'achakach posak roshei chutin shelahem psulim. Here you see, and we dashed underline, posak roshei chutin shelahem. You are cutting the tips. And psulim, the tzitzis remain unfit. That's a problem for Rav. The ode, Tanyo Gabi Sukkah. And regarding Sukkah, we will see another problem posed to Rav. What the Gemara will do, we'll tell you ahead of time, the Gemara will deal with question number two. It will answer that. However, question number one remains a problem for Rav. Now that we have an overview of the sugya and we try to maintain the flow focusing on Shitas Rav, we did have a couple bracketed sections. Let's go over them now. The Gemara on Amud Aleph toward the bottom presented Shitas Shmuel, where it was said that that which Rav originally had said, as Rav Yosef quoted things, Rav Huna said that's Shmuel's opinion. Namely, you have to cut and shake. That's in the case of the branches of the sukkah. The Gemara now asks, is that really... This is a question here. Vesavar Shmuel, the question in the brackets, that's six lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. This question is, in effect, on Rav Huna's presentation of Shmuel. Question. And the question takes a few lines to develop. V'savar Shmuel lo aminam sikosan zuhi asiyosan. Does Shmuel say that the mere cutting is not enough? V'atoni Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chiya. Here we have Shmuel, and it's noteworthy to emphasize Shmuel's name. He quotes Rabbi Chiya as having taught. We have a source with an illustration, 175. So let's together look at illustration 175. What do we see there? We see again a story concerning tzitzis, one long string folded over, doubled over, as you can see, threaded into two holes, two corners of a four-cornered garment simultaneously. So you have one string running through two holes, accounting for two corners of a four-cornered garment. So now the source says, Hitil lishnei kronos v'basachas. He put into two kronos corners at one time. The achar kach posak roshei chutin shelohen, and then cut the ends. Ksherin. It's kosher. My lav, what is this talking about? Shekosher v'hakar posek, meaning it was kosher means he tied. He made the knots and then cut. So that we're describing a case that it was nasa b'psul. It was made. The knots were tied. It was made in a state of still being attached, not having separate strings. And then he cut it. And it says here, and Shmuel quotes it, says that's kosher. What do we see? That all you need to do to make something that was prepared in a problematic state, all you need to do is do an act of cutting. The act of cutting, when appropriate, is enough. You don't have to do any more. No, that's not the explanation. Shepoisek v'achar kach kosher. For these sisters to be kosher, all what needed to be done is that before the knots were made, he cut the strings. In other words, he didn't really start the making process. He had to cut the strings and then start the tying, and then it's considered kosher. The Gemara says, if that's what this source is teaching me, that's quite obvious that it would be kosher. Posek v'achar kach kosher ma'ila meimra. Cutting the strings, in other words, after they were threaded, but you cut the strings, making them separate strings. So it's quite... at this point, it's quite, things are going well. It's quite kosher, so to speak. And then you tie the strings after the strings are already been separated into separate strings. Mein lemeimra. What do I have to tell you that for? What do I need a source to teach me such an point that seems obvious? The Gemara answers, Mahu detemo, without this source, I might have thought, Bo'inon were at the top of Omid Beis, Bo'inon kanaf, Bish'as psil, Veleka. Kanaf means a corner. That you need to have a separate corner at the time, psil is the time of insertion of strings. In other words, each corner has a separate set of strings inserted, separate set per corner. And that's not happening over here. In illustration 175, it's two corners with one set of strings. So I might have thought that that's not acceptable. Kamash Malon, the teaching of Shmuel is that that is okay. That's okay. That the fact that you threaded the strings into the holes, two holes at once, that is not a problem. And by the way, the word kanaf we have in quotation marks because that's a quote from the pasuk. The word kanaf, you can see on the side we have the pasuk quoted from the what we know as the Kriyat Shema, the third paragraph. It says, and let's read the pasuk together. Daber al bnei Yisrael v'yamato aleihem v'yasu lahem tzitzis al kanfei v'gdehem l'dorosam v'nasnu al tzitzis hakanaf psil techeles. So you see the word kanaf in the pasuk, and that one might have thought meant a separate set of strings per corner, and hence Shmuel reveals to us that is not necessary. It's not a binding element. Meisve, and as we saw before, this was a kasha on Rav. We'll read the Gemara again, but without explanation. The Gemara asks, "Tolon v'lo pasak roshei chutin shalem psulim. My lav psul le'olam tufti Rav. Permanently puzzle, even and that's a problem for Rav. Said that if you would cut them after the strings were tied and made into tzitzis, the cutting is enough. Here you see, not so. Amalach Rav." Rav answers, "My psulim." The term psulim in this source meant psulim ad shipsiku. They're unfit until you do the cutting, but doing the cutting of the tips is enough. That's considered its making. It's asiya, and we didn't point out, we didn't emphasize enough before. But in the context of tzitzis, the Torah says in the pasuk we just read, the asu lohem tzitzis. There's a concept of needing to make the tzitzis. You have to make them in a kosher fashion, a kosher way. So according to Rav, the cutting of the tips is considered its making. Now, we just learned Rav's response to the source of the second line from the top of where it said that they're psulin. Rav said they're pusul until you do the cutting of the tip. Now we read through the brackets. Shmuel omar psulin li oilam. Shmuel says that the tzitzis will remain puzzled, that cutting the tips is not enough. You'd have to first cut the tips and then make the knots, not having made the knots and then rely on just cutting the tips. V'chein omar Levi psulin li'olam. Levi agrees with Shmuel. V'chein omar Rav Matana omar Shmuel psulin li'olam. Rav Matana quotes Shmuel as saying that. Ika di'amri, another version of names, omar Rav Matana, with another version of, let's say, of Rav Matana's presentation, v'didi havi uvda, a matter like this involved myself, was in me. V'didi means in me, and I had a case like this. V'asoi l'kame d'mor Shmuel, and I came presented Shmuel v'yomali, and Shmuel said, look, you made the knots while it was still a single string that was folded over. It's puzzle v'yomali psulin le'olam. The tzitzis in this fashion remain posel forever. In other words, by simply cutting the tips, that's not going to make it kosher. Meisvei. Now, as we said before, the Gemara focuses on Rav. Rav said that the cutting is enough, and we ask, Tolon, he inserted tzitzis into the corner of a garment, and it was one long string doubled over. And he made the knots. The achakach posak roshei chutin shelahen. And then he cut the tips. Psulin. What we see here is that the cut after the cutting of the tips, posel. That's against Rav. The old Tanya Gabi Sukkah, and we have a source concerning Sukkah. The Pasuk says Ta'aseh, and on the side we've written the Pasuk Devarim Perek Tezayin Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Pasuk says Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh L'chol Shivas Yomim Vosbucha Migornecho Mikvecha. So the word Ta'aseh means Velo Min He'osui, make the Sukkah in a kosher way, and not from not use a Sukkah that was made initially unkosher. Mikan Omru, from here we say Hidlo Oleos Agefen Vesadlas Vesakisus. If a person spread over the top of his Sukkah branches from something that was growing, attached branches, and that's Vesikai Chagabon, and use that to cover his Sukkah, Psula. The Sukkah is unfit. Hey Chidomi, what are the circumstances in this case of the branches, of the vine branches over the Sukkah? He lame obishalo kotsitson, if he just left them as that is without cutting them, mayirya mishum taseh v'limanosi. Why use the drosha of the word taseh to communicate the disqualification of such a Sukkah? Tepokle, you can learn out on a more basic level, dimichuborim ninhu. The branches are still attached, so that you don't have to explain the lack of fitness or acceptability because it was made in a state of psul. Right now, you have attached branches, and attached branches are unfit as schach. Elo b'shekotzitzon. The case here with the vine branches on the sukkah, and the source says it's unfit. You know what happened there? He put the branches over the top of the sukkah. He cut the branches while they were still covering the sukkah. He cut the branches from the trunk of the vine. Vikotani psula. And the source says it is posel. Ushmamina. From here we see Deloy Amrinon Sisos and Zui Asios and Ufyufta Darav. We do not say that the cutting is the making, but rather, in this case, it's described as a sukkah that was made with attached branches that were subsequently cut. That's taaseh, was the lo min ha'osui. This is an example of something that was osui b'psul. It was made b'psul, and the cutting doesn't help. Omar loch Rav. Rav addresses case 2. Question 2. Hocha b'maaskinon, the case of the sukkah and the branches that we are darshaning tassim and also as being, and that the sukkah is unfit, the shalfinu shlufi, the lo minkuro asiyodidhu. Well, you can take advantage of illustration 176. The person, what happened there is he did cut the branches. However, the was still remained partially attached, so that it wasn't a clear detachment. That's Shalfinu Shalufi, and you can see that if you look carefully at the trunk of the tree, the branch is being severed, but it remains still attached through its bark. And that's not sufficient, because it's not nikur, it's not clear that it was detached. Or as the Gemara says, lo minkura asio didhu, it's making, and as far as Rav is concerned, detaching is considered the initial making of it, but it's not visible, it's not clear. So as far as Rav is concerned, question number 2 concerning the vine branches and the sukkah covering, he has an answer for that. Mikol moko, im tol on v'achak posa kashi l'Rav. But the question that came from source number 1 that does present a problem for Rav, because from there we see that the cutting is not its making. It doesn't fulfill the requirements of the making of the tzitzis. Kashia. This is a problem. This remains a problem for Rav. Lemo kitanoi. Shall we say that Tzitzos and Zuasiosin is a machloikis tanoim? Before we go further, we have a topic heading on the side. The nosei, which we also indicate hemshech, is a continuation. Nisoyon lehami dino shel rav. There's an attempt here to set up rav's din. That the cutting is considered the initial kosher making of whatever. Want to set that point up as saying this is something Tanoim have a controversy over. Of course, in a situation like that, that it's a Tanaic controversy, at least Rav will have someone to base his, some Tanaic opinion to base his opinion on. However, we will see that the Gemara will take a turn and end up leaving Rav high and dry with no one Tanoim wise accepting his Rav's analysis. The Gemara has, we have a structural note, in addition, you can see the diamond that appears. They are shlavim, they represent stages. The faresh machloikis with Shimon bar Yotzadok the chachomim the over the lipton the anve hadas achrei shikvar negad. The Gemara will introduce a case of a myrtle branch, a hadas branch, and in nature this hadas branch produces berries. The berries on a hadas branch, if there are too many berries, the hadas branch is rendered unfit. The Gemara later in the Masechta will deal more with the actual arbaminim, the four different varieties of plants used for the mitzvah of lulav. But in the meantime, just that will suffice for now. The recognition that the preponderance of berries on a myrtle branch renders it unfit. So on page 36 of the Pirush Chai, you can see a myrtle branch, illustration 177. Let us say, as you can see in 178, a myrtle branch with too many berries is attached, is bound together with the other minim, the other varieties, plant varieties needed for the mitzvah of lulav. After they were bound together, he then proceeds to pick off the berries. That's the situation we will discuss now. The Gemara, we say lame oktoni. This also, by the way, is a long question. Shall we say that Rav's din is a machlokes tanoyim? The source says, Ovar velikton, we indicated illustration 177, the berries there, and he picked off the berries of Ahadas as after they were already bound together, like you see in 178, bound together in the lulav. Puzzle, Divrei Rabbi Shimon bar Yotzalak. The lulav is unfit. And the chum say, that's okay. Savruha. Savruha means we make an assumption. Rashi explains that the Rabbonin in the Beis Medrash that wanted to say that the picking off is its making is a machlokas tanoyim, so they lay down the following assumption. Savruah de kule almo lulav tzorech eged. The lulav needs, requires being bound together with the hadasim and aravos. That's what you see in 178. The alfinon lulav misuka dichtiv gabisuka ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. And furthermore, we're a part of our assumption is that we learn lulav from sukkah. Now, in the case of lulav in the Torah, the word ta'aseh or asiyah, making, doesn't appear. However, if we compare these mitzvahs through a method of learning called binyanav, simply comparing topics. This is not a scriptural type elucidation, but it's more of a we'll call topical, logical comparison. Namely, just like the mitzvah of sukkah, which does have asiyah written in its context. Chag ha-sukkah is ta'aseh lecha, asiyah, making something. We said making means make it in a state of kashrus. Make it when you make it, it shall be kosher when you are making it. So just like the concept of asiyah applies by sukkah, it applies to the lulav as well. And the word ta'aseh means when you are making it, it should be made in a state of kashrus. And so what's the making of the lulav? The making of lulav is the binding together of it. Obviously you don't make the plant. The plant grows by virtue of the Almighty who ruled that nature yields plants. So what's your making? Your making is you're tying it together. My lav behal komifliki. So what's the machlokis tanoim that we see here with Shimon Bar Tzadok and the Chachamim? It's as follows. The man de machshir, the Chachamim who say that ovar velikton is acceptable picking off the berries after the plant was already bound together, after the hadas was bound together, he holds amrinon gabi sukkah, we would say by the sukkah ktsitsasin zu asiyasan, the cutting off of the attached branches is considered the making of the sukkah. But gabi lulav nami amrinon likitasin zu asiyasan, and by the lulav, the picking off of the berries, the detaching of the berries, would be its making. So that you're making it, this is now its making, and you're fulfilling the requirement of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. Ve'oman de posiol sovar. Rabbi Shimon who says it's unfit. Lo amrinon gabi sukkah k'tzitzasin zu asiyasan. By the sukkah, we wouldn't say that cutting the branch is considered its making, unlike Rav. Ve'gabi lulav nami lo amrinon l'kitasin zu asiyasan. And by the lulav as well, pulling off the berries is not considered its making. So that Rav would at least have the opinion of the Chachamim to base himself on. And one says, lo, this is not the analysis of the Machlokes Tanoim in Ovar Velikton in the berry case. Tekule Alma Loi Amrinon Gabi Suka Tzitzosin Zu Asiyosan. All the Tanoim would hold the cutting is not its making. In other words, all the Tanoim would be unlike Rav. Of course, when we say unlike Rav, we mean unlike Rav, who, as explained by Rav Huna earlier. When we say Rav Huna earlier, that throws us back to Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, where Rav Huna presented Rav, as opposed to Rav Yosef's version, where Rav Huna presented Rav as holding that Sisasan Zui Asiyasan. Here, the Gemara is saying, no Tanoim, namely Rav Shimon Bar Tzadok and Chachamim, neither one of them would accept that. The Hacha, here, in the case of the berries, where you have Rav Shimon and the Chachamim arguing, the Melaf Lulav Misukah Komifli, the issue is, do I learn the laws of Lulav from the laws of Sukkah? But let us make it clear, Rav spoke about the Sukkah. What we say henceforth is not going to have bearing directly on the issue of Rav's din. So from at this point on, we're focusing on the issue of the lulav. But as far as the sukkah is concerned, no one will agree with Rav. And we say no one, we're talking about Rav Shimon, Rav Tzadok, and the Chachamim. So what's the issue between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim? Do I learn the approach to lulav from sukkah? Man de machshir the Chachamim who say ovar velikton is okay. Sovar he holds lo yalfinon lulav misukah. I don't learn lulav from sukkah. In other words, so I won't pasel a lulav that was made in a state of psul. And Uman de Posil, Rav Shimon, Bar Yitzchok says that the Ovar Velikton is not acceptable. Sovar Yalfinon, Lulav Misukah. I learn Lulav from Sukkah. And just like by Sukkah, the cutting off is not enough, so too the picking off of the berries is not enough. It doesn't make the Lulav kosher. The Iboya Seimo, another approach. Isviroland Lulav Tzorech Eged, if you were to assume that the lulav needs to be bound, kule alma lo pligi, everyone would agree, the alfinon lulav misukah, that we would learn the laws of lulav from sukkah, and the picking off of the berries would not be of help, would not be its making. The hocha v'hocha miflugi, and here the machlokis with Shimon el Tzorach and the chomim is more sovar tzorach eged, or more sovar ain't tzorach eged. Reb Shimon, who says that it's puzzle, is because the lulav needs to be bound together, and therefore it's the that's considered the making of the lulav, and it was made with the berries still there, so it was made the psul, and therefore picking off the berries now will be of no help. The chachom say ein sorech eged, it doesn't need to be bound together, so there's no issue of making in the first place. Therefore, go ahead and pull off the by pulling off the berries, even though you're not supposed to pull off berries, but pulling off the berries will be okay, because there's no issue of making to begin with, because chomim hold ain't tzorach eged, it doesn't need to be bound together. U bepluta, the issue of does a lulav need to be bound or not is a machlokis, is found in the following machlokis. There's another machlokis tanoim, again, u bepluta dahani tanoi. And as you see in the following machlokis tanoim, the issue of does a lulav need to be bound together. Disanyo, the source begins with the Tanakhama saying, lulav bein ogud bein she'eno ogud kosher, the lulav, whether it's bound or even if it's not bound, even if the branches are separated from one another, the lulav, the hadasim and the arovas, it's kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ogud kosher she'eno ogud pasul. Rabbi Yehuda is more restrictive, he says only if it's bound together is it kosher, otherwise it's not. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda, why does Rabbi Yehuda say that the binding together, the tying together of the three varieties is binding? Answer, Yolif lekicho lekicho me'agudas ezov. There's a gezerah shavah, a word comparison between two topics. One is lulav, where the word lekicho appears, and the other is the agudas ezov, the tying together of the ezov with other varieties, as is featured in Sefer Vayikra. And there, the word lekicha appears in, together with eged, binding, tying together. Siv Hossam, it says there in Sefer Shmos, we have to correct our citation before, but the Agudas Ezov is from Sefer Shmos in the context of the blood applications of the Korban Pesach done in Mitzrayim. And it says, "Ulekachtem agudas ezov," a binding together of ezov branches. So in this pasuk, you see "lekachtem" and the word "aguda," something tied together. Uksiv hocha by lulav, it says "ulekachtem lochem b'yoyim harishon." And by lulav, you don't have the word "aguda," but you have the word "lekachtem." And through the word comparison, just like by the agudas ezov in Shmos Perek Yud Beis, the word lekachtem appears with aguda tying together. Understand the pasuk by the lulav where it says lekachtem, it is also to be bound together. Ma lahalon ba aguda, just like by the ezov, it is bound. The branches are tied together. Afkan by also to here by the lulav nami ve aguda. The rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, lekicha mi lekicha lo yafinon. They don't have the oral tradition that dictates the word comparison between these two words, lekachtem, from Shmos Yud Beis to Vayikra Chav Gimel. So they don't have a tradition, so there's no significance behind the word lekachtem in so far as needing to be tied together. Rashi makes the point that people do not invent these word comparisons on their own. Either you have a tradition or not, and the Chachamim don't have that tradition. Keman az lahodesanya. We have a Tanaic source, and we want to figure out who is the author behind it. The source says lulav mitzvah la'ogdo, the imlo ogdo kosher. the lulav, the choice way of fulfilling it, is by having the different varieties tied together. But if you did not tie them together, you can still fulfill your mitzvah. Well, who authors that? E Reb Yehuda. He lo agdo amai kosher. If this were authored by Reb Yehuda, well, if you didn't tie it together, why should it be kosher? He said the binding is binding. E Rabbanan amai mitzvah. According to the Rabbanan, they don't require any tying together, so why would the source say that it's a mitzvah to bind them together? The Gemara answers, the Olam Rabbanan he. This source really is authored by the Rabbanan. And you'll ask, so then, what's the mitzvah? Umishum she'enama, because the Pasuk says, Zeh keili ve'anvehu. That's a Pasuk that's found in the crossing, the song of what we call the Oz Yoshev, the song recited upon crossing the sea in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's, the Pasuk is darshened, the word va'anvehu is hisno'e lefonov b'mitzvahs. When performing mitzvahs and making items, articles of mitzvah performance, make them in a proper, in a nice, pretty way. So when dealing with the lulav, the nicer way to do it is by tying the different branches together, as opposed to having loose branches, so that you fulfill the mitzvah of Zeh Keili Vanvehu by tying together the lulav with its other varieties. Zeh HaKlal, Kol Dovar Shemekabel Tumo. The Mishnah told us the rules about what's kosher and what's not kosher for Schach. The Chule, it went on to say, V'chol Dovar She'eno Mekabel Tumo, V'gidula Min Oretz Mesalim Bo. And that which has both qualities, that it's not mekabel tumah and it grows from the ground, it and only that is fit to serve as schach. Before we continue in the Gemara, we glance at the side under the Nosei, the topic heading, where we've written mekoros l'schach kosher, sources for what constitutes schach kosher. Aleph, l'mandomar anane akovod, and Beis, l'mandomar sukois mamish. There is a machlokus, we'll see this in the Gemara, two opinions as to what is meant by Sukkos in the Pasuk that says, Kiba Sukkos HaShavtiyas B'nei Israel, we celebrate the holiday of Sukkos in commemoration of something called the Sukkos. What were the Sukkos? One opinion says it's a reference to the clouds of glory, the Anane HaKovo that surrounded the nation of Israel during the Exodus period and their sojourn in the wilderness. So in honor of those clouds, we sit in sukkah booths. Another opinion says that Kiba Sukkos HaShavtiyas says a reference to the actual simple booths that they dwelled in during their journey. So depending on which opinion you hold is the meaning of Sukkos in the Pasuk, we have to find a source that Schach has to have these characteristics. Now let's turn to the Gemara. Mino Hanimili. From where do I know that only if it's Eino Mekabel Tumah and Gidul Menorah, it's that it's kosher for Schach? Omer Eish Lokish Omer Kro. The Pasuk says, Pasuk from Bereishis, Berak Beis, which is, we'll call that the time of creation, it says, V'eid Yale Min Horetz. Aid is a cloud ascending from the ground. Ma aid dovar sheno makabel tuma, just like a cloud is something that's not a vessel, it doesn't absorb tuma. The gidulo min haaretz, and it originates from the ground. Af sukkah, so too sukkah, which means schach, dovar shein makabel tuma, the gidulo min haaretz, it also has to have those two characteristics. It is an item, a substance that doesn't absorb tumah, and it grows from the ground. So what's the source of schach? The cloud. Well, using a cloud as your basis for schach conforms to the approach that Sukkos in the Pasuk that commands us to celebrate Sukkos in honor of the clouds of glory. So I can use a cloud, as featured in the act of creation in Bereishis Beis, I can use clouds as a source for laws of sukkah, because the sukkah themselves come to commemorate clouds. But according to the opinion that says that the word sukkos in the pasuk refers to actual constructed booths, so what is the source? If we skip the brackets momentarily, where the Gemara continues, Ki osu rav dima rav yochanan amar kro chag hasukkos ta'aseh lecha makish sukkah lechagiga, and he goes on there with the sources for that manda omar, that it was besukkos mamash. So by skipping the brackets, you keep the smooth flow of the Gemara. And in the brackets, the Gemara tells us about these two opinions. So on the side, we have a starred note, Sograyim L'Shem Diluk. The Sograyim, the brackets are for skipping purposes, as we just demonstrated. Kidei Lishmo Aretzev HaChashiba, to maintain a continuity of thought. Acharei HaSheila Muva HaTshuva, after the question, we then see the answer. The question was, Mai Kolameimar. We read in the Gemara, according to Madomar, that Sukkos Mamish, so what's the source for the Schach being what we said? And then, skipping the brackets, you get right to the answer. But so hasograyim, we continue in our note, within the brackets, muvo hamokor shebo shnei hashitos shenizkiru. You have the source in which the two opinions are cited. So now that the structure hopefully is clear, we go into the bracketed section, desanya. The Braisa reports, kibasukos hoshafti as b'nei Yisrael. The pasuk that instructs us to celebrate the holiday of Sukkot says, because in Sukkos the Jewish people dwelled. Well, one opinion, anane kavod hoyu. Divrei Rabbi Elazar Rebbe says, it's a reference to their dwelling in the clouds of glory. Rabbi Kiva omer, Sukkos mamish osu lohem. Rabbi Kiva says, the pasuk is describing the physical booths that they made. Honicha, the Rebbe Elazar. Honicha means that it works out well that I have a source for schach being dover she'eno mekabel tumah v'gidulah min ha'aretz from the pasuk of Eid Ya'aleh. Elo l'Rebbe Akiva ma'ikol ha'meimar. But according to Rebbe Akiva, who says that Sukkos is a reference to actual booths, what is the source for schach being dover she'eno mekabel tumah v'gidulah min ha'aretz? Now, the triangles are featured under our Mivne heading, Gimel Deos, Lamala Mokel Ischach, Sheidomer Sheinu Mekabel Tumo, V'Gidulo Min Oretz, Lemanda Omar, Shehoyu Sukkos Mamash, according to that opinion, that they were actual booths. What is the source of the rules of Ischach? Three opinions. Number one, Ki Osu Rav Dimiom Rav Yochanan Makro. He cites a posik that says, Chag HaSukkos Ta'aseh Lecha. Makish sukkah lechagiga. We compare sukkah, the schach, to a korban chagiga, sacrifice, an animal sacrifice we call a chagiga. Ma chagiga dover she'eno mekabel tuma, the gidulo minorah. It's just like a chagiga, which is an animal. An animal does not absorb tuma. A live animal does not absorb tuma. Gidulo minorah, it derives its sustenance from the ground. It eats in order to survive, grass and what have you, that which grows from the ground. So its sustenance is from the ground. So too, when it comes to sukkah, it has to be something like an animal. It doesn't absorb tumah, and it grows from the ground. We continue at the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. I ma chagiga ba'alei chayim af sukkah nami ba'alei chayim. If you're learning from Chagiga, so are you going to tell me, just like Chagiga is an animal, so too Schach can be accomplished by putting animals on the top of your sukkah? Obviously, no. Ki also Ravin Omer Rav Yochanan. Hence, we have another source for the for Schach being Dover Sheino Mekabel Tuma and Gidulo Minoras. What does Ravin tell us? Omar Kro Bi Aspecha Mi Gornecha Mi Kvecha. Now, if you look on the side, Dvorim, Perek, Tezayin, Pasuk Yigimel, we've included the Pasuk for your convenience. It says there, Chag HaSukkos Taseh Chol Shivas Yomim, Biospecho Migornecho Mikvech. So in the Pasuk that commands us to celebrate Sukkos, it also says these words, Biospecho Migornecho Mikvech. The Gemara darshins, and again, we can't emphasize enough, this is in the context of Sukkot. Psoilus Guren the Yekev Hakosuv Medaber. Psoilus means the residue, the waste of a Guren is a granary, and Yekev is a winery. What is the waste of a Guren and Yekev? Very simply, it's the branches and of the vine branches, and that which remains of a grape cluster after the grapes have been removed. So what is schach? Schach is made of branches and other growths that are not actual fruit, not the actual fruit, because that's not what the pasuk is talking about. The pasuk is talking about the residue. The Gemara says, who says? V'eimo gurin atzmo v'yekev atzmo. Maybe what the pasuk is saying is use schach, the stalks of wheat with the wheat still attached. And the yekev atzmo would mean clusters of grapes with the grapes still on them. And that would be actually a dover ha-mekabel tumah. Food is something that's mekabel tumah. But maybe that's what we're supposed to use as our schach. Omar Rebbe Zera, yekev ksiv kan, ve'i efshe lesakech bo. The word yekev is written. And the word yekev is mashma, implies wine. And you can't cover a sukkah with wine. Therefore, out of default, it has to be a reference to the branches. Maskif lo Rav Yirmiya. Rav Yirmiya challenges Rabbi Zera, says, V'eimo yayin korosh habo misnir. When the pasuk says yekev, it actually means wine. It's congealed wine. That's this yayin korosh means congealed wine that comes from smear. Smear is the name of a place. Shehu doyme ligulei dvela. It's reminiscent of cakes of pressed figs. Very dense wine, so dense and thick that it actually is a solid, and it can be used as a covering if you were to do so. Omar Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera, whose name appeared just a few lines above, says, Homil Sahava Biyadon. This matter, namely source for schach, what we thought was in our hands. And also Rebbe Yirmiya, Veshalda Beinarga, Rebbe Yirmiya came along and threw an axe into it. In other words, as we saw above, Rebbe Zera made the point, Yekev is written in the Pasuk, which means, implies wine, actual wine. And you can't cover with wine. Wine is a liquid. It can't use as a cover. So what does Yekev, what it must mean something other than actual wine? Hence it means the branches. But then Rebbe Yirmiya came along and said it could mean actual wine. Rav Ashi Omar, Migornecha. Rav Ashi is a continuation of the use of this pasuk. That's why we still are under the heading of the second triangle. But he looks at the pasuk and he says, the pasuk says, "Biosbacha mi gornecha velo goren atzmo," means from the goren, not the actual goren. The actual goren are the grains themselves, but that's not what the pasuk is saying to use. Mi yikvecha velo yekev atzmo. Now Rashi elaborates. Rav Ashi Omar, Shapir, we're reading the Rashi, Shapir Mashma Psoles Mikra. The Pasuk itself points to the residue, the waste, namely not the actual food. Dichtiv Bosbecha Migornecha Mashma Sha'ata Oisfoi V'noitloi Min Hagoren. But you notice you're gathering, it says Ba'as Becha, you're gathering mi gornecha, to take away from the granary. The goren, hua ochel. The goren itself is the food. Umashata oisifu bora mitocho, hu hapsolas. That which you take away from there is the residue. So in the case of the grain, it's a reference to the stalks. the stalks, the straw, the hay, that is what you would be using as the schach. And we can describe the stalks without the grain. The stalks are gidulo min aretz, and they're not mekabel tuma. Rav Chisda Omar Mehocha. Rav Chisda says that my source for the schach standard is learned from the following. Now this pasuk is in Nehemiah, but you have to know the context in which the context of the pasuk is their making of sukkos. And it says there, Tsuahar v'aviu alei zayis v'alei etz shemen v'alei hadas v'alei tamarim v'alei etz avos. Now this pasuk, without translating every point here, it says, go out to the mountains and gather all kinds of leaves, and it says alei hadas, and it says alei etz avos. So, well, we dashed underline these two expressions. Gather four sukkis, alei hadas and alei etz avos. Well, hainu hadas, hainu etz avos. The pasuk in the Torah that says to take your lulav, it says you lekachtem lechem pri etz hadar kapos tamarim anaf etz avos. And we know that the anaf etz avos that the Torah is saying to take, together with the arve nochal, the anaf etz avos is the hadas. So why in this pasuk does it say, in addition to the alei etz avos at the end, which is the hadas, it says also take hadas? So what's this redundancy telling me? Omar Rav Chisda, hadas shoite lesuke, the etz avos. Lelulav. There's a type of myrtle branch, let's call the standard myrtle branch, or the Eitz Avos. Avos is a type of chain work. But the idea there is that you have three leaves growing from the same point or the same level at each interval on the Hadas branch. There is something called a Hadas Shoite. There's an illustration of this 179. If you look carefully, you can see that the leaves are not, you don't have three leaves growing at each point. You can have several leaves growing from different points. They're not a chain work of three leaves per spot, per level. That's called a hadas shoite. So what the pasuk is saying is that for the mitzvah of lulav, you take the alei etz avos. You take, and the, for the purpose of schach, of your sukkah, you take the alei hadas. The alei hadas meaning the hadas shoite, which is not acceptable for the lulav, but it is acceptable for the for schach. Well, so there you go. What was used for schach? Something that grows from the ground and is not mekabel tuma, a branch. A hadas branch itself is not a vessel, hence it's not something that is mekabel tuma. It's also not food. So it's not mekabel tuma. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.